You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Today's episode of Locked On Pistons is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets. The promo code LOPISTONS will get you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. Thanks for bearing with me with some irregular programming over the last week. I've been traveling a little bit, but we're back into the full swing of things now, back to a daily show Monday through Friday. Let's start with some good news as we review what's been going on. The Pistons are still in tailspin, but here's some good news. They are not as bad as they've looked lately. They're just not. Take the overall picture. The Pistons are sixth in the Eastern Conference in Basketball Reference's simple rating system. Simple rating system uses point difference and strength of schedule. It's a little bit more of an indicator, I think, than record. Studies have shown that using point difference is a better predictor of future success than straight record. Teams that outscore teams by more or get outscored by less, they do better than teams with better records. Often those things go hand in hand. You know, most teams that win a lot outscore their opponents. So that's pretty common sense. But sometimes when they differ, it's the point difference that does a better job of predicting future success than record. Add strength of schedule to it. I think that makes it a little bit more accurate. And the Pistons are sixth in the Eastern Conference. That's not bad. That's top eight teams in the conference make the playoffs. However, it's not the best eight teams in the conference. It's the teams with the eight best records. And that's where we got to get to a depressing note. No matter how well the Pistons have played, no matter how well they will play, they've dug themselves into a hole. They're tied for 11th in the East with the Magic, a Magic team that not long ago we were looking at as well behind the Pistons. Now the Pistons are right there tied with them. There's some room to go up. The Pacers and Bulls are tied for 7th. Both those teams look vulnerable, especially the Pacers. The Pacers have not found an identity, definitely not the one they were looking for as an up-tempo, efficient offense. Paul George has expressed his frustration. That obviously doesn't come through when they're playing the Pistons during this stretch. They had no trouble, or very little trouble at least, with the Pistons. Paul George had no trouble. Nothing to be frustrated about against Detroit. But he's not happy with how this season's going for Indiana. This is not a team that's living up to expectations. At the Bulls, there's talk of them firing Fred Hoiberg. There's something going on with Rajon Rondo to the point where the team might release him. This is not a happy team. The Wizards have been playing better, but they've underperformed all year. They have no bench. The Knicks, I think, were fool's gold all along when they got their record up there. They had an easy stretch in their schedule, got some close wins, didn't look that impressive. Maybe Kristaps Porzingis can make them a real team, but that's going to be tough for the Knicks to get everything through him, given the other egos on that roster. And then there's the Magic, who the Pistons are tied with. Again, nothing special. They've turned into a pretty good defensive team. They've got their offense clicking up, but they're not a team that you go, man, there's no way the Pistons can top them. Here's the problem. I just went through five other teams. The Pistons need to be ahead of four of them to make the playoffs. That's not easy. Even if the Pistons start to play better collectively, there's a decent chance one of those teams also starts to play better. Maybe two, maybe three. So when you're down in the standings like that, yes, the Pistons are only 2.5 games out of playoff position. But I think that gets overlooked too much. That is a big number. 2.5 games is a big number. I think the bigger number is that they are three teams out of playoff position. When you have to pass so many teams to get in the playoffs, it's very hard. It's not just the games out. It gets simplified too much. It is not just the games out. It's how many teams you're out because you have to pass those teams. You have to not only play better yourself, you have to hope that those other teams don't play better. And sometimes that's asking for too much. I want to get into some specifics of why the Pistons are struggling in this last stretch and what's going on, what they can do to fix it. But first, I want to talk to you about SeatGeek. The NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in at the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether it's courtside, the club seats, or the upper level. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket, because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first ticket purchase. To get your $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LO Pistons. That's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Pistons today. All right, so we want to talk about this recent tailspin slump. Maybe if you want to be really negative, Pistons showing who they are. This recent stretch, I've split the season really into two parts. Their first 25 games, and then their last 12. They're 3-9 in their last 12, and that started with that home loss where they got thumped by the 76ers. That's really when they started to show, like, man, something's wrong here. Like, you're trudging along, you win some games, you lose some games. It's not perfect when Reggie Jackson comes back. It's a little up and down still. You were hoping that would straighten everything out. It didn't. But when they got thumped at home by the 76ers, just blown out on their home court, that's when you knew, like, uh-oh, something might be wrong, and it's continued. One of those wins was over Dallas, a real bad Mavericks team. The Pistons had to scrape to get that. It just hasn't been pretty. And so let's talk about what the difference was in those first 25 games when the Pistons were 13-12 and overall playing well to these last 12 when they've been 3-9. The offensive rating has fallen only slightly. The Pistons are scored 103.2 points per 100 possessions in those first 25, 102.2 in these last 12. Neither is a good mark, but it's not much of a difference. The Pistons are even getting to the line a little bit better. They went from awful to just bad at that. Their offensive rebounding a little better, but still middling, which is really strange for this team. Andre Drummond should be an elite offensive rebounder. It seems like there should be some other solid offensive rebounders on this team. It's a little disappointing. It's a lot disappointing that the Pistons are only a middling offensive rebounding team. That's a big reason the offense has slipped from last year. This is not a good offense. But the real decline has come defensively. The Pistons have gone from allowing 100.4 points per 100 possessions to 111.6 points per 100 possessions. That's basically going from near first in the league to last. Huge, huge shift. And maybe this will make you feel better. Maybe this will make it easier to fix the problem. But we can pinpoint exactly why it's going bad. The Pistons are defensively rebounding better under the stretch. They're now the best defensive rebounding team in the league. They're forcing more turnovers, just a little bit. They've gone from bad to mediocre at that. They've even cut down on the points in the paint they allow by not letting opponents get all the way to the rim as often. But the Pistons have gone from, in these first 25 games, having the lowest allowed opponent effective field goal percentage to allowing the highest opponent effective field goal percentage. And it's so, yes, we can pinpoint this. The Pistons are allowing their opponents to make more shots. It's not about forcing turnovers. It's not about fouling too much. It's not about defensive rebounding. It's about letting the opponent make shots. And here's why it could be tricky, though. Even once you pinpoint it to that, opponents are shooting better from every area on the floor. Every area, at the rim, in the paint, in the mid-range, the top of the key on three-pointers, from corner threes, everywhere opponents are shooting better. And I think there's just an overall lack of defensive effort and focus to allow this. And the Pistons are just getting picked apart in every way. They're seeding too many open shots. And I think that's a key reason Stan Van Gundy spent a lot of time at a recent practice talking about closeouts. And I thought his quote was sort of interesting on this. He said, "There's never anybody on the court, at least that I've come in contact with, that thinks they're dogging it out there. They all think I'm playing hard, and they think I'm closing out. I'm getting there. And so until you really show them that there's a difference between being sort of there and a closeout that's taking a guy off the shot." And yeah, I think there's some truth to that. Players play hard. They think they're playing hard. But sometimes that little difference in effort matters. And it's sort of become a collective problem. As the offense has slipped, the defensive effort hasn't been there. It's something the Pistons have frequently pointed at. It's a problem. It's a problem a lot of teams go through. It's not unique. The Pistons are going through it now, but the slump they've gotten themselves into, they've dug themselves in a hole, and even playing up to their capabilities, or even playing, getting that winning percentage up to the team I think they are overall, it might not be good enough. They've fallen so far behind in the standings. It's going to be tough the rest of the way. That starts tonight against the Hornets, a very good Hornets team. A team that came into the season not in much different shape than the Pistons, but they've gotten it together. They've meshed. Even if the talent levels across the teams are similar, they've found how to play together and play well in a very different way. And then it comes out to a tough road trip. We'll talk more about that Hornets game and the upcoming road trip tomorrow. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Today's episode was brought to you by SeatGeek. Thanks for listening.